Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
First of all, thank you for downloading our podcast, and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We love teaching the best practices for handling money, and we use the Bible as our textbook. You see, in the Bible, there are 2,500 verses that speak directly to how God wants us handling money, and we use these biblical principles in our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. If you'd like to take a look at how this Bible study will help you reduce and then eliminate your debt altogether, simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook. Joining me, as always, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Today, we're going to have a discussion about generosity. What is it? Why is it important? But John, a question I have for you. When you talk about generosity or giving to individuals, they kind of get frustrated. Why?
They have a sense of obligation, and they give because of that sense of obligation. Sometimes they give because they want to appear spiritual. Sometimes they have a passion for the cause that they're contributing to. It always seems like there's an unlimited number of needs, but we have limited resources. And there's a lot of confusion about where to give. Should we give to the church? What about the diocesan collections, the campus and prison ministries, the missionary efforts, radio and TV program? I mean, their list just goes on and on and on. So, you know, there's competition for resources.
And when we are faced with all of those different requests for money, we tend to react in different ways. Maybe we have compassion for the people that are in need. We can be grateful that we're able to give. We may be guilty that we can't give more. Or we may be cynical about being solicited and maybe even manipulated by people whose goals may be worthwhile, but maybe their methods are questionable. Or even we may run into people who are requesting donations for unworthy causes, like professional beggars.
So today we want to talk about giving attitudes. But before we do that, I want to ask a question. Have you ever planned your giving? You know, think about our lives. We seem to have a plan for everything. We have a plan for retirement. We have a plan for vacation. We plan our next visit to the grocery store by making a list. We plan the clothes that we got to buy for the next school year for the kids. We even make plans for our parties. But most of us don't plan our giving. And I'm not sure why it is. You know, in my mind, I question, well, are there too many choices? Yep, absolutely. Do we feel pressured to be generous? Yep, probably. Do we feel that our generosity is not appreciated? I think that's a definite issue. So as a rule, do we have a bad attitude about giving? And I think the answer is probably. But the way to get through that is to plan for your generosity.
So how do you create a plan for generosity? I mean, I know we have one, but how would you explain to somebody else how to create a plan for generosity?
Well, I think the first thing that you want to tackle is to understand the areas of generosity where you're passionate. You know, what is it that you have a passion for? Do you have a passion for the poor, the unborn, the right to life, feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the homeless? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There are many, many, many things that people might be passionate about. And so what they should do and what we're suggesting is that they pick one or two of these things that they feel passionate about and focus in that area. And then the second thing you should consider is, what are your innate gifts? What things has God given you the skill for, the desire to do, the capability to do that really floats your boat? Things that you just love to do, that you could do not just for the next 6 months, but you could do for the next 6 years, 12 years, 20 years.
You mean like Steve and his passion for radio?
Yes.
That's a good example. No, it is.
No, that is a great example. Our passion for Compass Ministry. You know, how many people do you know have been doing the same ministry thing for 32 years?
And that does help with the attitude.
Absolutely.
You do something because you're doing it for the right reason. You're not doing it so you look good with your friends and family and neighbors.
And you're not doing it just to plug a hole because somebody came up to you with those sad eyes and said, I need help.
Well, and that's what happens. You know, a lot of times a ministry or a charity, they need a warm body. They need more hands and feet. And so what they get is a warm body. And, you know, they have no idea what the innate gift that this person has. And most of the time, they probably don't even care. They just, we want you to do this. This is what we need you to do. And, you know, people get burned out from that. Are you really good at handling money? Help with accounting in the ministry or in the church office. Count money on Mondays. You know, do you get an emotional high through interaction with other people? Help with introducing your passion charity to the community. Or volunteer to work in the parish office and the front desk, or teach RCIA. Do you really like working behind the scenes, making sure that the ministry plans are well carried out? Volunteer for that. And then what we want you to do is to match your passion with your innate gifts, your time and your treasure, with a local ministry or charity. Create your plan. And once you have a working plan, generosity is easy. It's fulfilling. It's meaningful. And if you're focused on a meaningful plan, then your generosity has clarity. You know, it's easier to say no without guilt if you have a plan and you're working your plan.
So if I'm hearing you both correctly, generosity doesn't mean I'm going to write you a check.
Not
that's,
always.
That's part of it, but not
right.
The entire.
Right, no, I mean, because usually when I hear the word generosity, you say
somebody's looking for money.
Money's coming, yeah.
The great thing about it is that your attitude towards giving is just going to improve beyond belief because of the enjoyment that you receive from being able to work your plan. You know, I said we were going to talk about attitudes, so we've created the potential to have a great attitude. Evelyn, let's explore some of the attitudes that are out there in giving.
Well, I think the first thing is love. You have to have an attitude of love. In John 3:16, we hear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And note the sequence there. Because God loved, he gave. And because God is love, he is also a giver. So he set the example for us of generosity motivated by love.
So what could be more commendable than giving everything to the poor? Generosity without an attitude of love provides no benefit to the giver. And, you know, when you say that, it sounds bad. That sounds dirty.
Why do you say that?
Well, there's no benefit to the giver. In order to be a great giver, you've got to be impacted by your gift. You have to feel good about your gift. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's what comes from giving cheerfully, right?
That's a cheerful giver. That's also from having a plan, from working your plan.
So an important attitude is to give cheerfully. And there's a verse from 2 Corinthians 9:7 that says, each must do as already determined without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the original Greek word for cheerful is hilarios, which is translated into the English word hilarious.
So we are to be joyful givers. What's the attitude in the pew around you at Mass when the collection basket comes by, Steve?
What's this doing here?
When did they start that?
I was just going to say that. When did they start this thing?
I heard something really funny. I think it was Father Mike Schmitz was talking about giving when the basket comes down the pew when you play giving roulette. And you reach into your pocket or your purse and you know there's a 20, there's a 1, and there's a 5. And you don't want to pull out the 1. Because then you'll have to go back in and pull out something else, and the chances are you'll get the 20. You don't want to pull out the 20 because you really don't want to give that much. So you're hoping, like, okay, God, let me pull out the 5 because then I'll give something. I won't feel guilty, and I don't have to spend my 20. You know, people will sometimes say, we don't want to give to the parish or the diocese because I don't agree how they spend the money. But we need to realize that when we're giving to the church or the diocese, we're giving to the Lord himself, and that's always an act of worship. We're not giving to the priest. We're not giving to the bishop. We're giving our gift to the Lord. Well, a lot of people think just because the church collects X amount of dollars, it has a lot of money, but they don't realize everything that goes into running
the
church.
Oh, the operating expense?
They don't understand the keeping the lights on, keeping the air conditioner, the roof, the you know, just everything that goes in there.
And here in Florida, that air conditioner is running from May till...
cranked up from May till April.
Yeah, hang meat.
Well, and you know, the other thing about it is that so many churches today are going to online giving. You know, I really like the idea of online giving from the standpoint of the ease of giving, maybe even getting more money because people will set it up to be automatic. But when they set it up to be automatic, that's exactly what I don't like about it, because the offertory is part of the worship service. We're giving our gifts to the Lord. And if we've set it up automatically online through the computer, then we don't even think about it anymore. It's, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and this is just something that makes the Mass longer. And I wish that churches that were doing online giving would do something in order to focus on the fact that there is an offertory and we are giving gifts to the Lord, even if they're not in that envelope or being put in the basket.
It's all about being generous givers. It's about having that right attitude when it comes to giving. And finding what you're passionate about will help in changing your attitude from it's an obligation to I'm giving for the right reason. I want to give. It's coming from my heart. Remember, generosity is not just about the money. Now think about the talents that God has given you and how you can use your talents to help others. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. You can learn how we can help you remove your debt and live a debt-free life. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn, being the co-founders of Compass Catholic, are with me today. And today's topic is all about generosity. Now, Evelyn, tell me about Paul's Peace. I've heard you mention this at least 3 or 4 times when we've had discussions about generosity. Paul's approach to giving.
And it comes from 1 Corinthians 16:2, and the verse reads, every Sunday, each of you must also put aside some money in proportion to what you have earned and save it up so that there will be no need to collect money when I come. So Paul's P's means, number one, giving should be periodic. He said every Sunday. Number two, giving should be personal. He said each of you. Number three, giving should be out of a private deposit. He said put aside and save. Number four, giving should be a priority. The verse said you must, so giving needs to be a priority. And number five is giving should be premeditated. And the verse said you should each give as you have decided. So that gets back to your plan for giving. And that was Paul's 5 P's from 1 Corinthians.
So you must, I don't think, is a strong suggestion. You must give. Now, what about where to give? You know, giving to the local parish and Christian ministries is one place. You know, we have a responsibility to contribute to and support our parish. God has a plan for each of us as individuals, but he also has a mission and vision for each parish, the diocese, and the church as a whole. You know, when people withhold their gifts to the church feels pressure to borrow money, and that puts the parish and the diocese in a compromising position. It's contrary to God's desire to have his people be financially free.
And then the church needs to ask for money, which really makes the people irritated. They begin to resent the church. So that whole giving proactively eliminates the whole thing about the church always asking for money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the questions we get a lot is people ask us if we only give through our church. And in our case, the answer is no. However, giving to our parish is definitely one of our priorities, but we have other ministries and nonprofits that are close to our heart, that are doing a good job, that are serving a lot of good reasons, and we are generous to them too, as well as our parish.
What's your opinion about giving to secular charities?
Well, there's all kinds of secular charities, schools, fraternal orders, organizations that fight disease, and they compete vigorously for our donations. And the Bible doesn't talk about in so many words whether we should give to these kinds of charities or not. What Evelyn and I have decided is that these kinds of organizations are not part of our regular giving. There's a lot of people who will support secular charities. For the most part, the only people who are going to support Catholic charities are Catholics. So we try to support Catholic charities, not just that organization.
Yeah. And if we do occasionally give to a secular charity, the solicitor may be a friend that we want to encourage, or we sense the Lord's prompting for us to give there. So that's how we handle our giving plan.
What about giving to the poor? You know, in Matthew 25, verses 34 to 45, we're taught that one of the most exciting and yet sobering truths of the Bible is that we should be giving to the poor. The passage reads, and this is kind of a paraphrase, but the king will say, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?" The king will say to them, "Amen. I say to you, whatever you did to the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Jesus, the creator of all things, personally identifies himself with the poor. And when we share with the needy, we are actually sharing with Jesus himself. And think of the opposite. If we don't give to the needy, we leave Christ himself hungry and thirsty.
You know, I think Mother Teresa is one of the best examples that we have in our time of serving the poor in a loving, compassionate way. And I love what she said. She once said, "When a poor person dies of hunger, it has not happened because God did not take care of him or her. It has happened because neither you nor I wanted to give that person what he or she needed."
That's really a good quote. I like that.
You know, one of the things I struggle with about giving to the poor is people that are panhandling. I always feel so guilty. Or like today we got an email from a lady looking for money because she is going to lose her apartment. You know, obviously we're not set up to just give money to anybody that comes along, but it's hard to turn down those things and feel good about it, but we have no idea what the background was.
I think there's a number of people who struggle with giving to panhandlers. You know, there's a little skepticism. But is there something other than money that you would suggest?
I might should put like one of those little care packages in my car with granola bars and, you know, maybe a $5 gift certificate to Mickey D's or
bottle of water.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And that might make me, but then again, I'm not doing it to feel better. I'm doing it to serve somebody. And, you know, so there's always a tension there between ignoring them and giving them something.
Yeah. But if you give them something, you feel better. If you don't give them anything, you feel bad.
Yeah. But a lot of our giving goes to the church and the church serves the poor. So,
And if you try to get them to go to Catholic charities or social services, they won't go.
No, and you get skeptical when you see the same individual on that same corner every day.
Yeah. You know, another question we get a lot of is, how much do I have to give?
No. It's how much do I have to give? That's what the question is.
Before the Old Testament law, there were two instances of giving a known amount. In Genesis 14:20, Abraham gave 10%, a tithe, after the rescue of his nephew Lot. And in Genesis 28:22, Jacob promised to give the Lord a tenth of his possessions if God brought him safely through his journey. And so with the law, came the requirement of the 10%. So that pretty much sticks in everybody's heads. And outside the Catholic Church, you know, it seems like that's still the law today is, oh, do you tithe? Do you tithe? Both the Old Testament and the New Testament teaches that we are supposed to give in proportion to the material blessings that we have received. And that's a totally different
calculation.
Yeah. Well, it's a totally different way of thinking about it. What are the material blessings that you have received? If you've got a gazillion dollars that you received, your giving should be a gazillion dollars because you received such a large blessing. And if your blessing, what you have received, is more moderate, then you give based on that moderation of what you've received.
There was a priest, the pastor of a church in Austin at Sacred Heart. We happened to be there when he was doing a homily on giving, and he talked about tithing and how it's a foreign word in the Catholic Church. But he said, my definition, tithing is 10%. Anything above that is stewardship.
And I would agree with him 100%. I think that 10% is where you start at. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, that was his point,
that's
yeah.
your starting point. And then you go beyond that. You know, Tobit chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, tells us that give alms from your possessions. If you have great wealth, give alms out of your abundance. But if you have little, distribute even some of that. But do not hesitate to give alms.
So what do we say to somebody that's giving just a token amount and they're nowhere near 10%? How would you suggest they get up to 10%?
But they're doing a token because they feel obligated?
Yes.
You know, I go back to 30 some years ago when we were ugly givers.
Oh, and ugly givers.
That's
a painful word.
That's below 10%. That's a classification.
Yeah, it was bad. But once we thought about it and basically set a plan to increase our giving. Now, we didn't have a lot to give, so, you know, we weren't giving abundantly, but we decided that we could increase, or we would try to increase our giving by 0.5% every 6 months, and we would just keep that going. And that worked to be a very good plan, and that money was really never missed.
No, it wasn't, and it allowed us to continue to be generous and see the fruits of those blessings. Now, we're not telling you to give to get money. We're telling you that when you give, you have love in your heart, you experience peace, you can experience compassion, and there's a lot of benefits from giving that aren't related to financial gain for yourself.
So there is a quote that the USCCB put out about how much you should give, and so this is what the bishop said. How much do I have to give? We're sure that this thought has crossed your mind. The answer is, you don't have to give anything. As a good steward, you should be asking the question, how much do I want to give? The blessing that we have as good stewards is that we are free to give as much as we want. The whole question of giving shouldn't revolve around the minimum gift, but the maximum gift. Our gifts should come from our heart and be an indication of our faith. So that minimum gift, that's based on a number, 10%.
Or less.
Or less. The maximum gift is just that. How much can you give?
So as you think about your giving, consider your attitude along with the amount. And remember, God loves a cheerful giver.
Well, we hope that you have a better understanding about the importance of giving or generosity. And again, it's not just about the money. It's giving of your time, your talents, and your treasures. And you're doing it for the right reason. You're doing it with the right attitude. This show is also available for you to share with a friend or family member. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Simply click on podcast. You'll see it on the homepage. Just scroll down a little bit and there's a button that says podcast. And before we leave you today, let's see if we can answer some of the questions that we received this week. Here's the first one, and we've had this subject before involving a work-from-home program. All right, John, Evelyn, here's the question. I'm looking into a work-from-home opportunity, but they want me to pay a buy-in fee of $1,500. Should I be skeptical?
Steve, this is something you don't even want to think about it. So many times when they're asking you to pay money, it's a scam. You're going to spend more to get the job than you're going to get paid trying to do the job.
Well, the other thing is there's so many sites right now where if you have a business opportunity like that, you can search for it and see the comments from other people, and they'll tell you the problems they ran into or the scams that they experienced or the things to look out for. Now, there's always people that are going to be paid by the company to make positive statements, but you can also see a lot of negative statements, and then you could weigh in. But I agree with you. If you have to pay to get a job, it just doesn't make any sense.
Do your research and read the comments. And don't read just the first three ones that are really good. Dig deeper. You'll find the ones that are basically telling you the truth of what's going on.
All right, John and Evan, we have time for one more email. This one's a toughie. My husband handles all the finances of the family. However, given that he's had a gambling problem in the recent past, I feel it would be better if I handled it, but he's not going to like that. And I'm working on how best to address this. Do you have any advice?
Well, it sounds like this situation comes with a lot of pain from past experience. So I think the first thing you need to do is pray that you approach it from the right direction and that your husband's heart is prepared to hear what you have to say. And the second thing is, I think you need to approach it from a where you are now standpoint and not dredge up all of the past gambling problems and use that as an excuse. I think you need to have an open, honest discussion about how far you've come as a couple and where you are today instead of using the past to beat him up.
Yeah, and maybe you could suggest that you have a weekly money date. And during that time, you talk about the income that you received for that week, what the expenses have been, and just talk about everything in an objective, from an objective point of view. You don't want to be nagging or critical or accusatory, but just stick to the facts. Stick to the facts. And what Joe Friday say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. But I think it's an opportunity to for both of you to be aware of what's going on and to support each other and to really strengthen your marriage.
Well, and I think in addition to praying before you talk to your husband, each of your money dates should start with prayer.
If you have a financial challenge or maybe you just have a financial question that you would love to ask John and Evelyn, by all means, send them your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. The email address again is ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for downloading and listening to our podcast. And remember, we have a brand new one for you each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast. Not only will you find the most current show, but you'll also find an archive of all the shows that we've done over the last couple of years. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.